All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the clubs of Kingwood for the Bad Pants Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Guess what? The doorbell rang, and not that doorbell, and the living room has been moved, but we are here at Kingwood Country Club for the Bad Pants Open, and it's like Peaches and Herb reunited, and it feels so good. My man Trap J99, Travis Johnson, joining me on the show, filling in for Barry, who is on the road. Nick back at the studio. What is up, fellas? How's everything going?
What's uppers, man?
What up?
You good?
Yeah, man, I can't complain. I'm sitting out here at this golf course. It's beautiful weather. King,
man, I'm telling you right now, I should have brought some sticks and hit some balls because the weather is absolutely – they had problems this morning, but it is fantastic out here.
Oh, no, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. This is wonderful. I mean, we could have hit about four holes while we waited.
At least.
Yeah.
Nick, you good?
I'm good, man. Got an opportunity to check out that Black Panther movie.
Nick, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Anybody there?
I don't know.
Did we lose connection?
I guess we did. No, you're still on the air.
Talk like we
yeah,
didn't.
So in the meantime, you and I, we're talking about coming out here today, so I said I'd drive. I'm sitting here telling you all these different spots that we can meet up at so that we can carpool, and yet you've lived in this city for 14 years, and you didn't know where Montrose was.
No, I couldn't remember. I mean, I've been there twice.
In 14 years, you've been to Montrose twice.
Yeah, what do I need to go to Montrose for?
Are you kidding me? I don't know. I don't know what you do in your spare time.
My family attorney's there, and then they got a wood place over there. It's been there forever that I bought the Spanish cedar at, and built the humidor. I mean, otherwise, there's nothing in Montrose area that I need to go there for.
Where else did I say? And I said, you ever been there before? And you're like, no, where's that? And I'm going, seriously? Do you live in a bubble for 14
years? Where Nico Nico's or something.
Oh, yeah, Nico Nico's off of Montrose and West Arm. I go, you ever been there? No. Where's that? How do you live in this city for 14 years and never have to go anywhere near, like, the outskirts of downtown?
Well, I worked at the stadium, so I went to and fro.
Yeah.
And then Missouri City, our wonderful city of Missouri City, has everything I need. And if I have to go anywhere, I go into Sugar Land.
You're so full of it.
And
get
that.
You just told me you had to go get wood chips or something.
No, it wasn't wood chips. It was Spanish cedar.
Same difference.
No, it's not. Wood chips is not. I was buying planks of Spanish cedar to build a humidor.
So your bubble had a humidor so that when you never left the house, at least you had the ability to smoke cigars.
That's it. You got to keep them fresh. Got to keep them fresh.
Ridiculous.
It's just the way of life.
Evidently, I found this out because I just couldn't imagine the fact that in 14 years you hadn't been anywhere near like Midtown. You know where Midtown is?
Yeah, I've been a few places in Midtown, but I don't remember.
So, like in 14 years, you've been to Midtown what, four times?
If that.
Oh boy.
I mean,
we're getting wows from the crowd
here. Would like I guess River Oaks wouldn't be considered Midtown area, would it?
Well, River Oaks was your heyday during Super Bowl. That's where you were.
No, but I mean, it's a few places. If we got a restaurant, then you can ask me about different restaurants, and maybe I might have been there before.
I don't doubt that.
But, I mean, outside of going to a phenomenal restaurant here, and I'm still trying to figure out how in Houston we have zero Michelin star restaurants. But
zero what?
Michelin star restaurants.
What is that?
It's the gold standard for like restaurant quality.
I thought it was five star.
No, like
Michelin's a tire.
Yes, Michelin's a tire. But if you know anything about restaurants, Michelin. So you know the travel magazine that Michelin does every year.
Sure.
So Michelin used for the travel. They used to also make one based on restaurants. So each restaurant will get a grade based on how good you were, presentation, all array of different things. Well, to get one Michelin star is dang near impossible. To get two is. It's an act of, you know, it's crazy. There's a few people with three Michelin stars, but you really don't see too many over three Michelin stars. But those are like Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
He's a two-star Michelin restaurant guy. Like, his restaurant has two stars. One of them lost a star, and he cried for like a month. It didn't come out the house for like a
the
month.
The guy who cusses that much cried?
Because he lost his Michelin star. It's how hard they are to come by. And we have none in Houston.
Ridiculous.
It's crazy.
And Houston's a foodie hub.
It is a foodie hub. But
everybody talks about Houston for food. I didn't see that. First of all, I didn't know about this Michelin star.
Yeah, but that's how they got started on Michelin stars, was making the travel guide. Also had the travel guide for food and Michelin star. Having a Michelin star is a very big deal.
I guess so. But so you're saying if there was a Michelin star in Montrose, you'd have been there.
I would have been there.
Okay. This from a guy who's juicing.
Huh? Vic and Anthony's now they have a star. What year was the star given? That's what you got to think
Anthony's
about.
Vic and Anthony's is top shelf.
Yeah, I love Vic and Anthony's, but they're not in Montrose.
No, they're in downtown.
Yeah, they're across from the ballpark.
No way, really?
Of course, I love it.
Yeah.
Tillman's restaurant. Yes. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they have a Michelin star now.
The guy said they do.
So you got to look at the years, man.
I don't care. I really don't.
I do, because I'm a foodie. I love food.
I care more about the fact that you haven't gotten around in your fair city in 14 years. That's crazy to me. But we're going to have Trapp's going to be with us the entire show, so we're going to be talking about a lot of things. The Combine starting today, and we'll hear from a guy who's been through it, a guy who has been through the Combine, the questions, the spandex, and all the different things. So he'll have some stories there, and we'll talk about some stories coming out of Indianapolis and the Combine. Lots more to get to as well, including the move. Everyone wants to talk about it today. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be salty guy, and everybody from Red Nation and the Red Rowdies is going to be on my ass, because I'm not going to say it's the greatest move of the year. I'm not going to say it's the new coming of the Dream Shake, but we'll talk about it. At least the bottom line is the Rockets took care of business, beat the Clippers. There was no drama like everybody expected, because there's no one left. And they hung on, which was not good, because they were up 26 points most of the first half. And then all of a sudden had to hang on in the fourth quarter again, which I don't like. But at least they're playing well. They're winning games. Two streaks of at least 14 games now, best in the NBA this year.
That's big. That's big. I mean, being the best team in the NBA going into this playoffs, you know, when they get around to it, you know, I think that'd be big. Just for the simple fact is, it's almost – I don't want to sit there and say, oh, let's not worry about Golden State. I think you still got to worry about them. But I think it's almost a signaling of almost trying to change the guard. And say, you know, Houston's here to stay. But I think the bigger story, if James Harden finishes the season out and get MVP, like, how should the Thunder feel that really three of the last four MVPs at one point were all on that team? Like, that's huge. And they couldn't keep them together.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? At the same time, now, you know, now they've got another big three, although I'm not sure Carmelo at this stage in his career where he fits in. But now, you know, they're playing better basketball, and people are talking about the fact that you are going to have to pay attention to them come playoff time. And we know what the Rockets did to the Thunder last year, but they're a different team. I still don't think that they put fear in anybody's heart just yet.
No. I mean, well, I think they got a lot of moving up to do, but at the same time, I think people are scared of Houston. I think they're scared of Houston right now is winning a lot of games, and like you said, they're not putting fear in their hearts. But at the same time, what happens when they do? When they hit their stride, then you have a real problem. Then you're gonna start getting blown out by this team week in and week out. I mean, they were embarrassing the Clippers yesterday. Just a couple months ago, nobody would ever thought this would happen, and they embarrassed the Clippers yesterday. So I'm impressed by them.
Yeah, you know, you have to be. But like I said, I mean, it's all with a grain of salt. Look, in years past, you know, your regular season wasn't as good. This is going down as the greatest regular season in the history of the franchise. And I said, soak it up. Enjoy it. Love the fact that your team is taking care of business, beating teams they're supposed to beat, beating teams that they're supposed to compete with, and putting an MVP at the top of the list and playing great basketball. But just like I said at the end of the year when it ended against San Antonio last year, the one thing that I was clear on was the only way you can erase the playoff ghosts of the past is to get to the playoffs again and then start taking care of business. And that hasn't happened yet. So everybody's still going to have their expectations tempered. They're still going to have their excitement level lowered, and they're going to be worried about the fact that, hey, in your windshield coming up is a postseason run that you better do what Chris Paul and James Harden have never done or face that wrath again, and that's going to be an issue. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm processing everything you said. Yes and no. But I think they're getting to the point where they're at that age where I think they get over that hump, and it's not going to be an issue. I think they right now it's just, I mean, yeah, of course it's the second half of the season, but I think they're getting there. It's a process, you know. I don't want to use the 76ers thing, but they've gone through this process, and I think they've learned over the years about how to win games and how to get over that hump.
All right, we'll talk about it. Nick, I will hopefully get these technical difficulties ironed out, because I want to get your opinion on the Harden move and the overall what we were just talking about there. as well as a whole lot more. We are live at the Bad Pants Open at the Clubs of Kingwood and the Kingwood Country Club. It's Travis Johnson, Joel Blank, Nick Sciarra. We'll be with you till 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Clubs of Kingwood for the Bad Pants Open. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, Barry's on location. So Travis Johnson, the ex-Texan number one draft pick from Florida State, is joining me, as we have done in the past and we will continue to do. We got some special guests here, and I want to set this up the right way because we are at the Bad Pants Open out here at Kingwood Country Club. It's the 20th anniversary this year, and a lot of people are just thinking it's just another golf tournament, and it really isn't. And for those of you that aren't aware, the Texas Children's Bad Pants Open is the original Bad Pants golf tournament. There's been copycats across the country, but over the past 19 years, this is the tournament. The Bad Pants Open has provided nearly $6 million in support for Texas Children's Newborn Center, which is the largest NICU in the country and one of only two level four NICUs in the greater Houston area. I can call it NICU.
It's NICU.
Okay, I know that's, but people don't know what. Okay.
The Neonatal Intensive Care Unit.
Thank you for joining us, Travis. All right, without further ado, Rachel and Levi Strauss. Levi, the name itself, we're going to probably have to get into.
But it's a lifetime practical joke.
I bet, thanks. But we welcome you in. Great story here. Their son Leo, diagnosed with a heart defect called, and boy, if you hacked me up before, you're going to hack me up now. Let me try to take a shot at this.
Tetralogy?
Why don't you do it then?
No, I'm just you get paid by the station. I don't.
Tetralogy of Fallot with pulmonary
Fallot.
Oh,
yes.
Well,
you should have heard me try to explain this one to all.
So Levi, tell me exactly what it was.
So at 20 weeks during our anatomy scan, we found out that there was a problem with Leo's heart. We did a couple of different anatomy scans, and we were taken back into a room with a cardiologist, and all of our family was there. And we heard those words that you just said wonderfully.
Thank you.
Tetralogy of Fallot, with pulmonary atresia and a ventricular septal defect. And it might as well have been said in a foreign language to us because we had no idea what that meant. So after much explanation, we understood that our son had a congenital heart defect, which is common in one out of every 100 babies that are born. And there started our journey.
Yeah, and what a journey it has been. 23 days old, and he faces open heart surgery. Entire first month of his life at the NICU unit. And then was able to go home with you guys 10 days after the open heart surgery in full. How's he doing now?
So I will say that if you look over at him, our kid
What's up, man?
Not only does he have a head of hair.
Yes, he does.
The kid is a rock star. You would never know that this kid underwent open heart surgery on day 23 of his life. He is the most fun-loving, full of joy, full of love, full of heart kid you could ever meet.
And I would assume that you guys have a lot of love for, obviously, Texas Children's because it helps to be in an environment where you have the best med center in the country but some of the best children's care anywhere.
We are so blessed to be in Houston, Texas, and our home is 7 minutes away from Texas Children's Hospital. We met people in that NICU that traveled near and far to be by their babies every day. Yeah. Some would travel 4 or 5 hours a day just to see their kids. But that's the price you pay to be at the absolute best facility in the world. So the care that we receive from all of the NICU nurses, from everybody in the cardiovascular intensive care unit, the NICU, we felt every day that when we weren't there, Leo was surrounded by family.
Tell me how great, as far as I know, like when you're in that situation, those people you meet in that waiting room, that waiting for their kids, and those have become friends that you'll have forever. I mean, that you experience, you know, your toughest times, you know, you got your family. But then you got these random people.
Like a bond is built.
It's a bond that's built. Because I know when my daughter was there for, you know, she was in the NICU for a month and a half, 2 months. And those people they became like a family. And I'm like, they'll never talk to this person ever in life. And now it's like on Christmas time, hey, Merry Christmas, man. How you doing? You know, it's just crazy how that bond of I don't want to say tragedy, but of strife, of testimony, how it shapes you.
I'll start here just because Texas Children's, when we were pregnant, actually connected us through a private Facebook group with other moms who had children that had gone through a similar situation with their children. And, you know, this is our first, Leo was our firstborn. So for us, we were pregnant. We had no idea what to expect. Forget the baby part now with all the heart stuff we had to learn about. So for me, it was the nurses who connected us with other moms. And I had people that, you know, we could talk to that have stayed friends with us. And we've tried to meet that, you know, one of them's from Louisiana and one from Memphis. And we've just all talked. And it was something for me to be able to get off Google, if you will, because that's all you want to do as a mom. And have very real people who virtually, if you will, held my hand through the entire process and said it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I just want to add to that, you know, the connection that we drew with all those families whose children's beds were right next to our child's bed, every night we'd go home and say a prayer for our son and for them. And I'll tell you how strong it is. It's been almost 2 years since Adeline, Aiden, Brett, Bradley, Braden, Caleb, Adolf. I mean, all of the names that we've met of the people that were near us, we said every single night a blessing for to ensure that they had just the same kind of health and fortune and good luck that we had. I
mean, it's like you're an uncle and an aunt for those children now because you have that connection.
The connection
that
is always there.
I want to give you guys some credit, too, because I'm like Trav. Similar situation. My wife and I, first child, and went through some of the strife, but not to the levels that you guys went through. But going through that, when you're in that meeting and when you really are faced with that reality, like, you know, you're still worried about just how you're going to be as first-time parents, and all of a sudden it's like the whole deck is reshuffled, and it's like now I've got to be strong and I've got to be focused because this little guy needs everything I got and more. And that had credit to you guys, but that had to be one heck of a curveball thrown your way.
You know, it was really interesting. I proposed to my wife in a picture frame, in a heart made of picture frames. And then we got married on the day of hearts.
Valentine's Day.
our son's name in Hebrew is the actual word for heart, which all of these things happened before we even knew about his heart condition. And for people that loved hearts, got married on the day of hearts, named their kid after a heart, and found out about a heart condition with their kid, you know, our love got us through it. We made some really close friends who are in Mexico City who have come here several times, and their daughter was also, you know, born with a heart defect. We met in the NICU course that we took in advance. And at Texas Children's. And we've always said to them, we're all connected at the heart.
That's big.
And what's been amazing for us is now that we are the people who people have been able to call. And, you know, we're very public about our story. I'm crying. I don't know if it's because I had a baby a few weeks ago,
I'm over here just getting emotional thinking because
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we have two. And I got to tell you, the minute we found out we were pregnant, our OB-GYN is not a Texas Children's primary, but he works, and we're having this baby at Texas Children's. So we're big fans of the hospital, and we feel in a way, it's our second home. But we have been reached out to now by other parents who get this diagnosis. And we get to be the ones who introduce them to our son and say, look how okay they're going to be. And he's over there. If you ask him where his belly is, or we call him his belly buttons because of the scars. He has a few of them.
Yeah.
So he'll raise it up. He's already proud of knowing that he's special and different, but in the best way possible.
Now, full everything prognosis going forward. Everything's good. Everything's full recovery. Everything's solid.
He has a full repair. He will probably need some updating to his repair by the time he's 15 or so. And, you know, knowing Texas Children's, their advancements in technology and science will be so supreme that, you know, it'll probably be minimally invasive.
Yeah.
It was really inspiring watching someone like Sean White, who won Olympic gold with the exact same condition as our son.
Is that right?
Olympic gold medalist. So there are no limitations to what our son can do based on the repairs that Texas Children's has done for him.
I had no idea Sean White.
Yeah.
He may not be as tall as Sean White, but that might be separate.
But regardless, and again, a little bit of the importance now, you mentioned a little bit your role models now for people going through this, but the other thing is that you're not done with it just because Leo's okay. You're actually trying to stay connected to all these families, and an event like this, the Bad Pants Open, which obviously, as we've covered, is going to bring a lot more funds and a lot more awareness to what is needed most at Texas Children's.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was the minute they asked us to be a part of this great event, and we're fortunate enough that both of our family businesses wanted to step up and be part of this. My family business is based in Detroit, and they still wanted to support it because we've seen
You're from Detroit?
I'm from Detroit.
What part of Detroit you
I'm from? The suburbs.
Okay. We're like Grand Blanc? Well, that's outside of Flint.
That's outside of Flint. No, but like Southfield,
oh,
the Bloomfield Hills
yeah, okay,
area.
Yeah. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
So giving a plug to EHIM out of Southfield, Michigan, just because they were supportive
sure,
here
absolutely.
And wanted to make sure that, you know, we've seen where these dollars go and what the future could hold is more collected.
No doubt. And I've got to ask you before we go. Levi Strauss?
Like
his
I
mother
said,
who named him's right there.
It's a lifetime practical joke.
Mom, was it a bender that went south or just like the name? Okay.
I haven't had anyone forget it yet.
I don't think so, right? But you could say it's in the genes?
That's what I say about my kid. That's my joke.
It's in the genes. Hey.
I got the joke. Nick didn't play dad joke on me either,
there
so I got by.
Well, I'm looking. See, y'all live in the area, so I would love when he turns 13. Make sure I'm at his birthday party.
Absolutely.
You know?
Look, can you teach him to throw a football? Because
hey,
I can't. I've got no athletic genes in me.
Hey, but he'd be all right, man.
I'm about throwing, but this guy can block. He can hit
right.
people.
Hey,
I know that.
Teach him how to kick a football. He can play forever.
There you go. Man, you know? Make a whole lot of money doing it. Rachel and Levi Strauss, we appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for being out here. Thanks for spending some time
thanks
with
for
us.
Having us.
And more than anything else, thanks for everything with Leo and so glad that he's doing well. But enjoy the day. And again, people, that's why we're out here. Great stories like this, and there's many more. So
everybody bring tears. I was over there recap. She had me recapping my own child, and I'm sitting there like, oh man, I'm like, don't cry, man.
It changes, man, when you're a parent, as you guys know. But every story on the news now hits you a little differently once you're a parent. So, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Have a great day. We appreciate you. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the clubs of Kingwood for the Bad Pants Open. This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yep. Hey, we're back from the Bad Pants Open out here at Kingwood Country Club. If that last family and that story doesn't get to you, then I'm not sure what your makeup is, but
hey, Nick,
that is some amazing stuff.
They asked for a copy of that.
Yeah, hey, Nick, by the way, the Strauss family was wondering if they'd get a copy of that last interview.
So absolutely.
If there's a way we can get that air check, we'll get that to them, because great story, great family, great ending. Leo is outstanding, as we see him sitting around here, and that's just
Leo has a hell of a head of hair.
Yes, he does.
Like,
I'm jealous.
Very envious right now. Like, he looks like Thor.
Without question.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Hey, little Leo Thor, what's going on? He looked like he had snacks. I'm mad I'm juicing right now. Because them snacks, like the barbecue I'm smelling.
You're steroiding?
No, I'm juicing.
Right, steroiding.
Oh, here you go, guy.
You did it when you played, and now you're doing it again?
I never did it when I played.
But you're doing it now.
I'm doing it now.
You're talking about green juice?
Green juice, yes.
Yeah,
green
it looks
juice.
Like slime. It's ridiculously disgusting.
Hey, don't hate. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah, I've heard it all before. All right, so let's get into this. Nick, are we good? Can you get in on this?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Cool.
Outstanding. Good. So I wanted to get your feedback on that that move last night and that game last night. But, more, you know, we were talking a little bit off air. But your thoughts on the Harden move first and foremost, and then one went down yesterday.
I mean, when the Clippers have like a terrible first quarter the way that they did, and then the best player on the Rockets squad kind of pulls off that three-point shot in dramatic fashion, I just think it makes it look a lot worse, you know, for the Clippers, you know. But, 17 of his 25 points was in that first quarter. They had a terrible first quarter. I personally loved the move, and I really loved the way Craig Ackerman made the call. But, I mean, it was just a super, super dramatic move, and it became the story.
Well, let's give my boy some love first, because Craig made one hell of a call, and that's so tough because he did it spur of the moment. But I know you got it queued up, Nick. But this is Craig and Bull. If you were watching the ESPN broadcast, their call was terrible. But if you listen to Craig and Bull, Craig's call was right on point with James Harden.
Harden one-on-one here. Yeah, James doubling up the Clippers. Clean up on aisle three. Clean up on aisle three. Someone call someone, because there's a clean up on aisle three as a man is down.
I thought you said this arena wasn't buzzing. It's buzzing now.
Yeah, just a fantastic call by Craig and Bull on AT&T Sportsnet.
I wish you'd have said, someone please call 911. That would have been a lot better.
you know what? Like I said, spur of the moment. Yeah. I'm never going to fault him because I know how hard that is. But he deserves the fact that that call is all over the place. But I said this to you guys off the air, and I'll say it again on the air. My big thing is James Harden has made 10, 15 moves better than that this year. The thing to me wasn't the move. And I don't think that the result happens except for the fact that Johnson blew a tire. You know, he rolled over the ankle a little bit. He went down. Sure. I think the thing that's getting should get more attention is the fact that what drew attention to it was Harden had time to stare him down, step back, and then make the shot, which you have to do in order to accentuate
exactly.
the play.
If he'd have missed a shot, it would have been for nothing.
He would have gotten some play out of it, but now, of course, everybody reran it 10, 15 times. But I'm giving James Harden credit in essence because I'm saying he's made 10 or 15 moves better than that this year.
Yeah.
It's just that the way it went down, the stare down afterwards, obviously in L.A. doesn't hurt and having ESPN there. But overall, yeah, I get it to some degree, but – you know, some people were on Twitter last night were sending me messages going, hey, if you're the Clippers after he does that to you, don't you start a fight? Don't you go after him?
For what?
I mean, that's what
I
I'm
mean,
saying.
The guy misstepped. I mean, because when he tried to plant with his toes, everybody knows keep your feet under you. And he tripped. I mean, momentum after he got pushed a little bit, a little push off by James. I thought it was a great move. I mean, but I guess, like I said, I've seen better. I mean, some people, I think I heard somebody earlier, is it the greatest of all time? Heck no.
Well, that's what I said, because though the attention it got Nick, and you go to every game, and you could probably justify it more than anybody. He's made 25 better moves than that this year. When he does the Euro step with crossing traffic, he ties people's shoes and pretzels them up. But the thing is, now I'm sitting there going, well, everybody remembers the dream shake on David Robinson. Now they're talking about, like, this is the new chapter. This move is going to go down in Rockets lore right up there with Dream's move. And I just don't see it that way except for the amount of exposure it's got.
But and my thing is, you said the dream shake against David Rodman. I mean,
Robinson.
Against Robinson, the Admiral. So who did he shake up yesterday?
Johnson. Wesley Johnson.
Like
Wikipedia
said, like
already,
who?
It's like Wesley broken ankles Johnson.
Yeah, like, but once again, you say who?
Yeah.
Like, when you talk about David Robinson – you talk about
one of the best of all time. Yeah.
You talk about the dream. You talk about Hall of Famer. So it's Hall of Famer or Hall of Famer.
Well, James is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
God forbid, he just keeps going the way he's going. He's good. But, Nick, where do you put it?
I mean, I personally like Harden when he, like, makes a defensive stop because, you know, all the hate that he used to get for his defense. He'd make a defensive stop and then complete the play on the other end with a dramatic dunk or a Euro step, like you mentioned. I actually like those type of plays. And you're right. He has made better moves. Again, it's just the fact that Wesley Johnson went down, the timing of it, the fact that it took, what, 1 or 2 seconds before he actually took the shot, and then he made it. It was just so much drama with that play.
The stare down, he still shook his head at him and everything.
Exactly.
And the defender couldn't get there for an hour.
I mean, if you're an audience, especially if you're at the game, I mean, it just made for a dramatic play.
And, of course, again, L.A. and ESPN in the building helps to immediately send that worldwide and have everybody talking. I can't tell you how many times it showed up on my Twitter feed last night, and that's where I'm thinking about it. But more importantly, look, they win their 14th in a row. Someone, by the way, said to me, as I mentioned, why didn't the Clippers go after him? I don't think that's a play you go after him. I think because he showed him up.
But that's what we want to see in basketball. The game was 28-7 in L.A. Nobody wants to come watch the Clippers right now.
If Blake Griffin's still in that game, if there's some of the combatants from the rivalry that are still in the middle of it, I can see it being a different story. But based on the fact, and I said this on Twitter, that 4 or 5 of the 8 guys in their rotation were either G League guys, rookies, or guys that were happy to be there from the Rockets getting minutes. No one's going to fight over that.
I can't even get rid of my Clippers tickets right now, bro. I mean, there's nothing about that went on yesterday that make you like, oh, let's fight. Like, was it disrespectful? It was disrespectful just to, oh, boy, Wesley Johnson. But if you look at him, he laughed it off because he was like, okay, you got me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like
he blew a tire. It's
that
simple.
That's it.
So, you know, they get the win. Nick, we talked about this previously, but the one thing that really impressed me, and you could tell how Sam Decker was the centerpiece of any trade. He played like 3 minutes. But Montrezl Harrell was impressive again last night.
I love Montrezl Harrell. I mean, he was one of the guys I didn't want to give up. He's one of the guys that I wanted D'Antoni to play more in the playoffs. We all talked about this before. He just simply didn't trust him. By the time he put him in the game in the playoffs last year, it was pretty much garbage time, and it was useless. So I love Montrezl Harrell. I mean, I have nothing but respect. He's one of those guys that's a grinder and really had to prove himself. Everybody loves players like that.
Did you catch it too? Do you know how many times he told P.J. Tucker and the Rockets bench, he can't guard me? And P.J. Tucker, the tough guy, the enforcer, the guy that's known for his defense, hopefully it was just for one night, but he was right. He couldn't guard him. And P.J. Tucker, I don't know if that was in his psyche, because he's a guy that likes to get into your head. Last night, he was like a sieve. He was letting people go down the lane after that. He looked like he was totally rattled by the situation, which I've never seen, and that worried me a little bit. But props to Montrezl Harrell, who was a guy that Mike D'Antoni, for whatever reason, didn't trust. He couldn't get off the bench when we all thought he should play. He's found a home in L.A., and he's making the most of it. He was impressive last night.
Of course, L.A., man, the city, big city of dreams. You know, everybody gets out to L.A., man, and wants to be – they want to be the man, and he's stepped up to the occasion. To be in L.A., you're in prime time, living and on TV. So I'm, you know, like you said, props to him for stepping up and being that guy.
And Nick, I'm going to go to you with this one too, because I know how much we talk about it, and you followed him. Clint Capella was a badass last night.
Yeah,
Clint Capella's going up against a guy that is on the all defensive team that's up for Defensive Player of the Year every year. Clint Capella had his way. And he was throwing down with authority. He was running the floor. He was defending. Clint Capella is going to get paid, and he deserves every dollar of it because, man, he showed out last night.
Yeah, these are the type of games that's really going to help him improve. I mean, we know that he's lost a couple battles with other centers. I think LaMarcus Aldridge had his way with him. But the more he gets his reps in the post, the more he faces like premier big guys, premier centers and power forwards, he's just going to get better. And, yeah, he's absolutely going to get paid. You have to pay a guy like Clint Capella, and I think they should.
And the other thing is that's going to really put to rest all the LeBron talk because of the fact that he's going to command $18, $20 million a year. You're going to have to pay him and pay him right off the top. Otherwise, someone's going to make him an offer that he can't refuse, they can't match, and he's going to walk away. And as good as Chris Paul and James Harden are and the nucleus of that team – he is that guy. There's a reason why when they say when the three of them play together, their record is unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's a reason why he has come into his own and everybody's saying he's going to be worth this much. That's their number one priority in the offseason. I don't think there's any doubt Chris Paul will re-sign. He'll come back. But you've got to hang on to Clint Capella or all the good that you've done to set up this roster could be for nothing. You're
yep.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be interesting to me because, boy, oh, boy, I was really impressed with him last night. He stood out in my mind as a guy that he's blossoming at the right time, and you need him to be on top of his game, especially because of the fact that Nene, what did he play, like 9 minutes?
Nene's getting old, though, man. He's
but
old.
You need him. You're going to play teams in which you're going to have more than one big on the floor,
yeah.
And he's going to have to do something.
When the last time Nene really did, like, I'm glad you said do something. You know, that's the slogan right now for Willie Taggart and Florida State and his new team.
Who cares? But, coaches at A&M.
But, yeah, I mean, that is my – I fool with Jimbo. But
anyway,
yeah,
finish your thought.
You made me almost forget my thought. But when the last time Nene did something?
Nick, when was it? Last game. What was the last game?
I mean,
he had the big dunk. He had the one big dunk, and then he got one caught on the rim right after that.
Yeah, he has plays like that. The problem is, I mean, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Nene is there with the understanding that he's going to be capped at about 15 minutes, and so you can only do so much at 15 minutes. He can't do back to backs. If he does back to backs, they're only going to play him in the second half. So you have to limit him because you want to keep him for the postseason. So that's my guess as to why you're not getting a major game.
Nicholas, there's my key. We're saving him for a postseason, and they did the same thing last year. And in doing so, what happened? He got hurt.
Because his body's not used to that work.
Well, if you're not getting him ready for the work, and then you're relying on him to be a workhorse, it's a slippery slope. That's why I said they needed to go out and get insurance and help. And, of course, Brandon Wright, they bring him in, and right off the top he hurts his knee has got an issue. So that's the biggest concern to me right now is that and just overall health of this team, because if they stay healthy, they are on a collision course with the Warriors, and that should be what everybody wants to see. We'll continue with more of the discussion. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776, or you can hit us up on Twitter, at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at TrapJ99. Text or call on the HR&P listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the clubs of Kingwood for the Bad Pants Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry on the road. I believe, Nick, it's Harlingen. But he should be back and in our fair city again tomorrow. We'll all be in studio and hopefully working on Falbo Brothers to supply some za for Friday for just us, and then we'll share if we feel like it. So we're working on that. But for today, Travis Johnson in for Barry. We are at the Bad Pants Open out here at Kingwood Country Club. A beautiful day, beautiful surroundings, and a really, really good cause for Texas Children's and the NICU unit. Just fantastic. The story with the Strauss family was just incredible.
Oh, yeah, man. It almost brought me to tears, man. It just was – I think it's wonderful when you, giving back for one, but giving back to children, I think, is, it takes a special breed of people to deal with those things. I know when Ms. Strauss, when she was talking about, Lord makes no mistakes, but, I think it takes special people to be parents of those kids in those situations.
No doubt.
Because that's not easy. None of that stuff is easy, man. When you're going through that situation in those NICU, and it's a troubling time, and it's hard to get through.
We were talking about it off air. You and I have both gone through, but not to the degree that they've been through. And it's just, as a human being, you don't wish that upon anyone.
Oh no, not at all. I mean, like I tell people all the time. I mean, my child was in a coma for a month and a half. And can't tell me what's wrong. Can't tell me.
Sure. Can't communicate
to let
you know what the issue is.
Because at the time they're so young that you're looking at it saying, what can I do to help you with this situation? They can't tell you, this is what's wrong with me, Daddy. This is what I need help with. Or, you're trying to get medicines. Or you're trying to – none of that. You can't – that's where it's hard to get through.
Yeah, no question about it. So we're going to be out here all afternoon. We've got another couple guests coming up later on in the show. But definitely worth the while. And if you think about it, there's ways you can contribute. But 20th year of this golf tournament, they've donated over $6 million. That's fantastic for Texas Children's and the NICU unit. So we're out here having a good time. Promo crew's out here as well, giving away some things. The Bad Pants Open, living up to his name for some people. For others, oversized khakis, not going to cut it. Some of these people, I guess the invitation didn't have the right lettering on it, or maybe they just didn't, the message didn't get through. But don't wear the generic grape smuggling khakis. Find yourself some loud pants.
Yeah, I agree. I'm mad I didn't wear my emoji pants out here.
You have emoji pants?
Yeah, emoji golf pants.
Oh, boy. That's just a waste of money.
No, they're not.
All you got to do is for $14.99 go on the internet and you get some of those pajamas and you can call them bad pants for a day and you don't have to pay the price. The John Daly golf pants, those loudmouth pants, are like $95 a pair.
John Daly's actually one of my favorites. I'm mad.
You guys have the same body type.
No.
All right, I want to get to this next segment, but Raheel and John and Dell and those guys were talking a lot about and calling it whatever they were calling it with the combine.
Underwear Olympics.
Yeah, and Raheel was talking about how bad the spandex was that everybody has to wear it, and then he asked if he'd get some size mediums. So with that, I wanted to get your take on everything. You've been through the combine.
Yes,
you've been
I
through
have.
These interviews. You've been through all the different things that happen, and you've got stories, and that's kind of some of the things I want to get to because I don't think people realize how badly you are prodded and pulled at and tested and all the psychologically and interviews and everything else, all so that you can play at the next level. It's not like when you were being recruited in college and it was just finding the right fit for you that paid you the most money on the side and gave you a car. This is where they're going to really, pull at your last nerve and string until they get you to sing the way they want, and then they'll make a decision from there. So I do want to cover that as we get into this second hour. But just offhand, I mean, your first impressions, that when the combine's going on, some of your favorite stories, but what's one story that comes to mind about the combine?
Well, I never forget. It was that day. Really, that day was today. The defensive line showed up, and we showed up the day before, and now we're doing the weight, the height, the weight, the arm length, hands, And so it's a it, you know, you come up and you're just in your drawers, you're just in your spandex. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, it's some guys who've actually urinated on the stage trying to hold weight, like, oh, they want to be, you know, for the smaller guys who have to be a certain right. weight limit. They'll have a gallon of water in them, water on the scale, waiting just so they can hurry up and get off. But I never.
So they let it go on the stage?
There's a couple guys that let it go on the stage because as soon as they weigh them, they're like, they're trying to get to the bathroom.
Why is it every time you're on the show, you talk about crapping and peeing your pants?
I'm just telling you what happened. You asked for a story. Don't ask me for a story if you don't want to hear
please,
all the stuff
continue,
that happened.
Please.
So we're there, and me and Entourage Hawthorne, you know, because of our names, we're not too far off in line. And so there's a guy at the time, there's an old scout. He's with the 49ers. And he's talking into his little
recorder,
I guess, you know, whatever you call them things. And he's giving, you know, he's describing everybody's body that's going by. You know, he's talking about.
And he's old enough that it's loud enough you can hear.
He's loud enough you can hear it because he's talking into his little recorder. So he's going, he's talking about this guy. He's like, oh, this guy has long arms. Oh, he looks pretty. Oh, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden he comes to Entourage Hawthorne and he just goes, body made. Terrible. I would never draft this guy. Looks disgusting. Antosh had like these set of cheek sheets that hung down to like his navel.
He had some moves.
Oh, he was bad bodied as they come.
Okay.
You know, but Antosh, I mean, he would have been a first round pick if he didn't pop positive at the combine. But, you know, stuff happens. But it's just that those type of things make you think, man.
You're more of a specimen or a piece of meat than you are a human being. They don't worry about your feelings.
Oh, no. They still tell stories about guys like Greg Jones, the first time they saw Greg Jones with no shirt on, and everybody oohed and aahed about what type of guy he was. They still tell stories about what Adrian Peterson looked like. You know, it goes around for years. I mean, they still tell stories about what Tom Brady looked like.
Yeah, because
see the video.
Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, he looked like he was late for class after a bender that had never gotten to a weight room or a football field in his life.
And that's what they do. When you first get there, because y'all see that on tape, but the piece of where Tom is, you know, they have the little thing on the board with his name on it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little whiteboard. They come, they got a bunch of them in that room. They put your name, they put your height, you know, they put your exact height on there, and they ask you to stand there just like that. Facing the camera, turn around. It's almost like taking a mugshot.
Yeah.
Turn to the side, turn around, let me see you from the back. But all they really want to do is see your muscle structure and see what type of body build you have. They're paying us, so it's not like the slave trade, but it's like the slave trade.
But
like,
you're not getting paid to go to the combine.
No, you don't get paid to go to the combine, but you're sitting there like, that's what's required to get the money. You know,
I saw Aaron. I retweeted it the other day, but they did when Aaron Rodgers was there, and he looked like he was late for his final exam. He had the Urkel type glasses on. You know, he's sitting there with like the duck wings flapping, trying to run the 40. And you're like, this is a guy that's now regarded as one of the best to ever do it. Just like the Tom Brady one, you're going, man, at the combine.
We talk football, you got to bring up the Packers
because they're the best.
But no, go ahead, finish your story.
No, I'm done now. I'm just waiting for the peanut gallery over here to realize that the food truck's still open. So with that being said, we'll get to some more Combine, and we'll get some questions. You guys have questions, lay it on us, 713-780-3776. Text. You can also hit us up on Twitter, at TrapJ99, at PacManJoel with a K, and at TheProducerNick. We got one in the books. We got two to go. It is The Big Show, The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.